Can I invite you to turn back with me now to 1 John? We're going to be taking verses out of the whole letter, really, but we'll start with chapter 3 and verse 1, where John asks this question: how great is the love? Or he makes a statement, rather: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him, Jesus. The people that John is writing to here, they're loved by God, God the Father, and they are God's children. Today I just want to ask a simple question. I want to ask, how do we become God's children? Or we could put it slightly differently. How do we know if we are God's children? So we finished our series on John's Gospel, chapters 13 to 17, and I'm thinking about what we're going to start on next. If you've got any suggestions, I'm always open to suggestions. But this is just a one-off. And we're thinking about, who are the children of God? This is a crucial question. We all have had fathers. And we all know how important it is to have a good father. If your father was a violent drunkard, a penniless layabout, or a criminal, then you're probably going to have had a tough childhood, a miserable childhood even, and you're going to be afflicted by that childhood trauma for the rest of your life. If your father was, on the other hand, responsible, loving, caring, hardworking, lived well, loved you, yeah, then if everything else was fine in your childhood, you probably had a very happy childhood and a great start in life. And you're reaping the benefit of it still. We all know then that it's good to have the right father. So stop for a minute and think about the father you had. Especially if you're sitting next to him. It's a very, very important thing to have had a good father. And wonderful if you can thank God wholeheartedly for your earthly father. If your father is God, then not only do you have the best possible father, but you will have a blessed life and eternal life. Your present is good, your future is getting better and better. John is writing to people who not only have had earthly fathers, as we all have, but they have a heavenly father. They know the love of the Father, and they know the life that the Father gives. And John is writing to this young church in the city of Ephesus, and he's writing to this church saying, you know, you've just not long been established in the Christian faith, and the question is, how do we know who are Christians, who are the children of God, and who are not? And John gives three answers. So we can apply this to ourselves. So really what we're asking today is, how do I know if I'm God's child? How do I know if God is my father? What does the Apostle John answer in response to that question? How do I know if this wonderful God is lavishing his love on me and has given me eternal life? It's really such an important question. And so we should look at ourselves today, and we have this chance to do so now, and think about the kind of people we are. Are we the kind of people who can really say God is our Father? And there are three marks that John gives of the people who can call God their Father. The first thing that John says in his letter is, God's children keep his commandments. They keep his commandments. So let me give you a wee sample of that in John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. Later on in chapter 2, everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Chapter 3, verse 6, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. So, very simple thing. Do you live the right way today? Do you keep the commands of God? What are God's commands? Well, ultimately, love the Lord your God and love your neighbour as yourself. You can go into detail in the Ten Commandments and find things like don't take God's name in vain, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. And what John is saying is if you see people who habitually break these commandments and they're not bothered, quite happy to do so, you can immediately conclude they're not God's children. It's really that straightforward. Now, that's not to say that Christians always keep God's commandments, because if we did, we wouldn't have to pray things like, lead us not into temptation, or we wouldn't have to ask for forgiveness or confess our sins. But we do have to do these things. And John writes about this, chapter 1. He says, if we say we've not got any sin, we deceive ourselves. So it's not that God's children are perfect, but we are concerned about keeping God's commandments. We want to obey God. And when we fail to do so, it upsets us, because we've disobeyed our Heavenly Father. And so then, 1 John verse 9, we confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So here's the first thing, and it's very simple. I can look at myself and I can say, am I a man who wants to keep the commandments of God? Am I a man who really wants to love God with all my heart, soul, mind and strength, and who really wants to love my neighbour as myself? Am I a man who seeks not to commit adultery or to steal or to lie or whatever? And if I can say, yes, I am that person, then it's certainly a good start in confirming to me that I'm one of God's children. And if I have concern when I don't do these things, when I don't keep God's commandments, and I am sorry and I want to confess that to God, that's a good sign. But if I don't have any of that, and if I'm quite happy just to live as I please, without regard to God's commandments, and if when I break God's commandments, it doesn't bother me, then I would have to conclude that I'm not one of God's children, if that was my attitude. So that's the first test, and we can apply it to ourselves, we can apply it to the people around us as well. The second test is, God's children love God's children. That is, they love other Christians. So 1 John 2, verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. And again in chapter 3, 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And that's just a sample. There are other verses about that in this letter. God's children love each other. Now, if you're part of a family, how do you show your love for your family? Well, you like to get together with them. It's very, very simple. If you're part of a family and you're quite happy never to see your brothers or your sisters, then you'd have to question whether you really belong to that family or whether you really love that family. God's children, they love God's children. We love our brothers and sisters. And that is something that extends not just in a congregation, it extends across fellowships and congregations. And so if we love one another, we want to meet. It's just a basic thing about being part of a family and loving. So if there's something on in church, we're there. If there's a service on, we're there. If there's a prayer gathering on, we're there. If we can be, because sometimes we've got responsibilities, work or whatever. If we possibly can be, if there's something on, if the church is doing something, we want to be there. I'm saying this in Kyle this morning, I'll say it here too. I'm really missing Jesse Stewart because, among many things, whenever Jesse became a Christian, that was just one of the hallmarks of her Christianity. She was there. If there was something on, Jesse was there. Often she'd hobble out to things, not feeling great herself, but she was there. And there's just such a great mark in her heart of being a child of God who loves the children of God. So that's something, again, we ask ourselves, do I want to be with other Christians? And we can look at people around us too in our community and ask the same. Chapter 3, verse 10. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. So the third and final mark that I can mention is God's children believe certain things. They believe. They believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and they love him. Chapter 4, verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child, Jesus, as well. When we say believe, of course we've got to watch what we mean by that word. Because the devil believes Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Remember the demons in the Gospels possessing people and calling out through those people, we know who you are, the Holy One of God. We know that you're the Son of God. They knew, but that didn't make them children of God. When we say believe, we mean more than just agreeing that something's true. We mean we trust. We mean Jesus is someone whom we identify for what he is, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, and we trust. It's that kind of belief. It's the sort of belief that enables us to put our lives into another person's hands. You done that this week? You let someone drive you somewhere? Did you trust someone with your food, for example, that they weren't going to poison you? Well, trusting Jesus means that we are happy to entrust our status with God to Jesus. In other words, we are happy to let Jesus take care of us being right with God. And we're not going to worry about it because we're trusting him to keep us in the right place with God. That's what trust is. John sums it up like this, he says to Christians. So chapter 5, verse 11. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So why is it important to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, to trust him? Because it means we have eternal life. It means, coming back to chapter 3, verse 1, that the Father's love is lavished upon us. Now, what could be greater than these things? What else are you seeking in life? that is important is as important as that. We're all busy seeking things. We're seeing glossy things in magazines and attractive products in advertisement, and we're wanting to be like that. We're wanting to have that. Are we reading the Bible and saying, I want that. I must have that. I must have eternal life and the love of God. Because if you are the kind of person who to whom these things matter more than anything else, then you know you will seek them until you have them. And when you have them, you'll know you have them because you keep God's commands, because you love God's children, and because you believe, you trust in Jesus, the Son of God and Saviour. Let's look outside for a minute. Let's have a wee look around in Plockton. People in our community here, do they pass these tests? This is a really solemn thing to think about. Do the people of Plockton habitually keep God's commandments? And if they don't, are they concerned? Do they confess their sins to God? Do they love God's children and love to meet with God's children whenever they can? Do they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and love him? Now it's quite obvious, if you apply these tests that John gives us here, that the majority of people in our communities don't live this way. And you can see that. Look at how few of us are here. Of all those who could be, how few love to meet with God's children. Look at what the surveys we keep hearing about from time to time about faith and what people believe, at how few believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Saviour and that he rose from the dead, things like that. And look at how many can happily misuse the name of Jesus, the name of God, because they don't love those names. Look at how many live in open defiance of God's commandments. The conclusion is painful and it's stark. Most people in our community are not God's children. They are not Christians. They don't know the lavish love of the Father. They do not have eternal life. And that's how things stand today on the 14th of July, 2019. They could change. People can wake up and turn from their sins to God. They can do that as individuals. They can do that in large numbers. God can change the situation. People can wake up and respond. But at present, that's the situation. And it may be that there are many reasons why that's a situation. I think one of the reasons is that many of the people in the community think they know what being a Christian is, and they don't like it. And the thing that they don't like is not being a Christian at all. It's just being a churchgoer. But they think that is being a Christian. And I've heard horror stories about the church in Plockton in past generations, and about the hypocrisy that there was. And it's not a surprise if people rejected that. But then, that's not what John is talking about here. John is talking about being a Christian as being a vibrant, wonderful, exciting thing. You have the lavish love of God the Father. You have eternal life. And as we read, you don't find his commandments burdensome because they know you know that they're for your good. And you love the fellowship of your family. And you love to be together with them. And you don't find it difficult to believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, because he is. But so many don't see that. And they're thinking of something dreary or something empty, something even hypocritical when they think about church. And we need to be able to show them something better. I need to, and you need to. Because they're not God's children. If they're not keeping God's commands, if they're not believing in Jesus as the Son of God, and if they're not loving to meet with God's children, then they're not God's children. That's what John says. And they need to be. They need to become God's children, or otherwise they're going to spend forever without God. I've been challenged this week myself, in lots of ways, in fact. But one of the ways I've been challenged is, it's been a busy week. It's been a very busy week. And I've been challenged to realise that sometimes I'm too busy to tell people about Jesus. I wonder if you understand that. I don't mean in the course of my job, because I'm doing it right now. I do it hopefully when I visit people. But I'm talking about that kind of situation where, just in the course of random encounters with people in life, you're not so busy with what you're doing that you haven't got time to stop and speak to them and hopefully initiate a conversation about Jesus with them. That kind of being too busy. So on Friday afternoon, I spent the afternoon sitting in a lay-by in Garve. What could be more thrilling and exciting? As it happened, I dropped Bridget off at camp, where I met Lydia actually in Inverness, and dropped her off for the camp bus, and I was then also engaged to meet my son Kenny off a bus coming from Stornoway about 5:30, so there wasn't much point in coming home, so I took some work with me, and I'm sitting in this lay-by preparing a funeral, which I had to take up and pull you yesterday. And so I had a lot on, and I was busy. So I'm sitting there working away in this funeral, trying to, when I'm preparing, I'm sure you know what it's like when you really have a big thing you got to do. You've got to be in the zone. And when I get in the zone, I don't want disturbed. So I'm sitting there in the zone in the lay-by in Garve. This car pulled up behind me, and I wasn't paying much attention, but the doors were slamming and 5 people came out, and there was a bench nearby. They sat on the bench and they had a couple of rugs. They got a couple of rugs out and put them on the grass, and they got this picnic out, and they started jabbering away in a language I certainly didn't know, they were having fun and they were enjoying their picnic. The sun was shining and I was just working away. And just from the way they were dressed, I thought, they're probably Muslims. And fair enough. And there's just this wee thing. While I'm working away and working away, just a wee thing. You need to speak to them, Roddy. You need to speak to them about Jesus. Anyway, they finished their picnic and they rolled up their rugs and things and they just stood there chatting for a while. 4:30, I don't know if it had any particular significance at the time, a couple of them got out, little mats, stuck them on the grass, started praying. Right beside the road. So, yeah, Holy Spirit said, right, you really got to speak to them. So, I got out of the car, just as the what I took to be the father of the family had finished his prayers, and just said, so you were praying. Who were you praying to? And so we got this conversation going. And it resulted in me, I had some books in the car, giving the family, particularly one of the girls who was doing most of the talking, a book about Jesus, obviously. But the deal was that she's going to send me a book about Islam. But don't worry, I'm not going to change. But I will read it because that was the deal, and it won't do me any harm to be better informed about other people's world view. But who knows where that conversation may lead? It turned out the father was from Pakistan, but the family had Yorkshire accents because that's where they live, and they were a lovely family. Just hope and pray that those who are not God's children may become God's children by embracing Jesus Christ, the Saviour, for themselves. But if we don't have conversations like that, how are people going to hear? And the thing was, I was almost too busy to bother. And that's not good. That is not good. So the challenge for you and for me is, John is saying, here's what one of God's children looks like. They keep his commandments and they love him. They love his children and they love to meet together with them. And they believe certain things about Jesus, that he's the Son of God. They trust Jesus, the Son of God, the Saviour. So if we don't do these things ourselves, then that's the first thing we need to pay attention to. There's nothing more important than to seek God to be our Father and to forgive our sins, to give us his love and his eternal life. If we are God's children, then we need to look around and see there's lots of people who are not. And you never know what you stopping and just saying something encouraging, maybe giving them something to read or whatever it is, inviting them to something, whatever, may accomplish. But we've got to do that. We've got to take and we've got to make chances. So I'll leave it there, and may God bless and help us to respond to his word again, the challenge of it, and may we be a blessing to the people around us.